In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Mark, the 13th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I will never forget that day. It was July 26, 2007, about 9 in the morning, when my wife and I walked through the doors of St. John's Mercy Hospital in St. Louis to deliver our firstborn child. After checking in at the nurse's station and filling out what seemed like an hour's worth of paperwork, we were taken back to labor and delivery. And that's where the vivid memories begin. Needles and IVs were put into my wife's arm to attach her to fluids and medicine. Heart rate monitors were strapped around my wife's belly and hooked up to machines. I remember walking the hallway with my wife dragging the IV cart behind her, stopping every so often, hunching over in pain as contractions came. I remember her sitting on a birthing ball, lying in a hospital bed, watching her stomach tighten from the contractions as she breathed deep. And I'd like to think I was a great help in all this, but in all actuality, I just did nothing but stand there at her side and watch her being delivered over to the birthing pain every 5 or 10 minutes. And as I watched, I vividly remember an overwhelming sense of helplessness rushing over me. Have you ever known the feeling of helplessness? Have you watched one that you love being delivered over to some kind of pain and suffering? If you have, then you truly understand the difficulty and helplessness of Jesus' words when he tells his disciples what's about to happen. Almost like Jesus is reading the headlines of the morning newspapers, he says, "You will watch as many are led astray and lose their faith. You will hear and see wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, hatred, division, violence, bloodshed, and death. You will witness the earth deliver pain and suffering in the form of earthquakes and famine." All of this, the disciples will see and hear in their lifetime. In fact, the disciples lived through many earthquakes, the first of which is recorded at Jesus' death. They watched the wars of Alexander the Great, Darius the Third, and Emperor Nero, all who conquer and sack cities. Nero, who burned the city of Jerusalem and destroyed and desecrated the temple of God in 70 AD. And when Jesus had finished predicting that all of this would happen, he looked at them, almost as if he were looking at a woman lying on a hospital bed in labor, and says, "It's only going to get worse." This, Jesus says, this is only the beginning of the birthing pains. You will be delivered over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings. People will bring you to trial and deliver you over. In fact, brother will deliver brother over to death, and a father's child, and children will rise against parents and put them to death. And it happened. Matthew was killed by a sword. Mark was drugged behind horses. Luke was hanged. John boiled in a basin of oil. James the Just and Paul were beheaded. Bartholomew whipped. Barnabas and Matthias stoned with stones. Jude killed by arrows. Thomas by a spear. James the Great was thrown off the temple. And Peter was crucified upside down. And brothers and sisters in Christ, I wish I could tell you that these were the end of the birthing pains. But if I did, then you know I would be lying. Because many of you have watched loved ones being led astray by false teachers and false religions. You have watched your brother, sister, mother, father, son, daughter, family member, or friend lose their faith in the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You have stood by and watched people delivered into the hands of wars, World War One, World War Two, Korea, Vietnam, Bay of Pigs, Cambodia, the Gulf War, Iraq, and Afghanistan. You have witnessed the earth deliver pain and suffering to people around the world. Hurricane Sandy, Irene, Katrina, and Ida. Earthquakes in Haiti and China, in the United States. Forest fires in California and Canada. A drought in North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, Nebraska, and Missouri. You have seen loved ones delivered over to cancer and AIDS, Parkinson's, congestive heart failure, COVID-19, Alzheimer's, dementia, chronic pain, and a whole host of other illnesses and diseases. And yes, you have stood by and watched your loved ones delivered over to death. Like a husband standing at the side of his beloved wife's hospital bed. You have watched the birthing pains of living in a world filled with sin. For you have seen your loved ones delivered over to sin and its consequences. And in these, I tell you, there is an overwhelming feeling of helplessness that says, how can I survive? How can I last through it? How can I possibly endure these? For there is little, if no help, in these. Or in our gospel reading today, for that matter. True, even our gospel reading is steeped in and saturated with helplessness and despair, and there are very little words of hope in it. But there are a few, 11 in all, to be sure, and they come at the end. There is hope at the end of helplessness and despair. For Jesus says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Here, Jesus tells us that there is an end to hopelessness, an end to despair. In the end, there is salvation, and that salvation is for you. Not only does Jesus speak of an end, but he shows us a glimpse of it, a small glimmer of what that end actually looks like. For Jesus allows himself to be delivered unto death for you. Jesus is delivered by one of his own disciples to Jewish and Roman officials, where he is mocked, ridiculed, spit on, crowned with thorns, nailed to a cross. But this is only the beginning of the birthing pains that Jesus endured because of your sin and my sin. As Jesus hangs on the cross, he is abandoned by his Father and most of his disciples. He is insulted not only by those watching him die, but by the criminal who hangs next to him. He bleeds and suffers for 6 hours until he breathes his last and is delivered over to death and the grave for you. It is bleak. It is grim. It is dark. And the disciples and women who stood at the foot of the cross of Jesus, those who could do nothing to help him, certainly feel the overwhelming helplessness of the situation. But then comes the end. Easter morning, wherein the women arrive and the disciples come to the tomb and hear about the one who endured to the end for them. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. Then angels proclaim as they triumphantly sit upon the gravestone of our Lord Jesus that had been rolled away and only the burial clothes remain. Christ is not here. He is risen. Jesus, who was dead, is alive again. Brothers and sisters, I know it is not Easter, but it is Sunday, and Sunday is the day of resurrection, so I will say it anyway. Alleluia! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. For there is no helplessness at the tomb on Easter morning. There is no pain, no suffering, no sin, no death at the tomb that Easter morning. Just Jesus, just resurrection, forgiveness, salvation, and new life. That's how the story ends. And this ending was first delivered to you in the waters of baptism. It is here that you were delivered over unto death and buried with Christ, so that sin in your mortal body might be done away with and brought to nothing. It is here where our Lord Jesus first looked upon you and said, I love you, And this day I have called you by name, and you are mine. I place my mark of the cross on your forehead and on your heart. I forgive you all your sins. And I promise you this, my dear child, as surely as you rise out of the water this day, so shall you rise at the end. More than that, just as I have risen from the dead, so shall you rise to the newness of life. In the meantime, stand firm. Stand firm to the end, because the one who endures to the end will be saved. And I know that it can be hard to endure to the end, especially as you see your loved ones, and even yourself, being delivered over to all kinds of sin and consequences. I know the birthing pains are plentiful, and you stand by and you watch with an overwhelming sense of hopelessness. But these are only for a lifetime. They are not the forever. They are not the always. The end, your end, is coming. Jesus will soon return and fulfill the promise that he made to you. The trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised and we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet, just as Jesus rose from the dead, so too shall you arise. You will be raised imperishable. Death, pain, suffering, illness, disease, they will not be able to touch you. You will be saved. And this is only the beginning. For I tell you, on that day, all birthing pains will end, because sin and death will be destroyed, and you will be holding new life in the palms of your hands. And though it is a dim reflection of the joy that is to come in Christ, I vividly remember what it was like in that hospital room when the birthing pains ended and I received new life in the palms of my hands. My child, how much greater will the joy that you have be when the birthing pains of sin and its consequences stop at our Lord's return, and he gives new eternal life to you. You know, looking back on everything, it wasn't easy, really, to be honest, to watch my wife in pain with our second, third, or fourth child either. But the difference is that after our first, I knew how it was going to end. I knew it would end in new life. And even if you have never experienced that, or if you have been robbed of that, the story of Jesus and for the believers in Christ all ends the same way. It all ends in the newness of life. And knowing the ending, focusing on the ending, allows you to deal with, get through, and endure to the end. The one who endures to the end, Jesus says, will be saved. As Christians, we endure to the end because we know the victory that is ours in Christ. And so that you may always know this and firmly believe it, Jesus delivers himself and his victory to you today in word, in water, in bread and wine. In these, your eyes see, your ears hear, your hands touch, your nostrils smell, and your mouth, well, your mouth tastes. It tastes Jesus and his sweet victory over sin, death, and the devil. This is the very reason that you and I gather in church each week, for this is the place where God promises to give you forgiveness of sins and new life. This is the place where you continually receive Jesus and dwell in his presence. And whoever continually receives Jesus endures to the end. And the one who endures to the end will be saved. You will be saved. Because the Lord has promised that he will continue to strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the one true faith as you continually hear his word and receive his sacraments now and into life everlasting. Amen.